today, a frontline on-the-ground report from Syria and reaction to it and to the British vote against military strikes from all the key capitals. We'll be speaking with Damascus, Paris, Moscow, London and Washington. Well, as the debate over possible military action against Syria goes on, so does the fighting. A BBC TV crew has witnessed the aftermath of an horrific attack by government forces using an incendiary bomb dropped onto a school playground in the northern province of Aleppo. It appears to have contained a highly flammable substance that burns at high temperatures, inflicting injury and death. Ian Pannell has been in Aleppo and witnessed the suffering of the victims as they looked for help at local hospitals. His is a very graphic report.
A young man sprints down the road in the town of Orom al Kobra in Aleppo province, filming on his mobile phone. We've verified the footage. The jerky video swings wildly as he runs into a school that's just been hit by a fighter jet. You can see people running, shouting. There's black smoke, flames, and cries to God. The gruesome footage shows a horribly charred girl on the ground, her fingers fused together in a half clench. Ahmed Abu Omar is the school headmaster.
This was the most horrific thing. We've seen images on TV, we've heard many stories, but we've never seen anything like this before. The worst thing in life is watching someone die right in front of you, and you can't do anything. There were dead people, people burning and people running away. But where to? Where would they go? It's not safe anywhere. That's the fate of the Syrian people. The last thing I expected is that the regime would attack a school. There were 75 students here. What are they guilty of? May God take revenge.
The corridor of the school has probably about an inch or so of water on it. This is where the firemen sprayed in water across the whole area to try and douse the flames. And immediately as you walk out, the first thing is that you're overwhelmed by a really strong, almost chemical-type smell, and the sight of textbooks completely burnt to cinders. There's a black trainer in front of me, melted on the side. The odd pencil, sharpener, bits of clothing, all horribly charred. And on the wall to the side, you can see the remnants of what is clearly burnt, melted flesh rubbed against a wall. It's difficult to describe the horrors that took place here. We were at the hospital when the patients started to arrive.
The first victim to arrive was a 7-month-old baby boy, his pink face blistered and raw. His father was also burnt, sitting helplessly on the stretcher, clutching his son as the staff rushed to help. Among them was a British medic, Dr. Roller, who was visiting the hospital for the charity Hand in Hand. She put the entire medical staff at the hospital on high alert.
Apparently there's more cases coming on the way, so I'm going to stand back and wait for other injuries to arrive.
The bomb had hit a school, landing in the playground outside, and dozens of victims, mostly teenagers, started to arrive in cars, ambulances, and on the back of vans. The hospital was quickly overwhelmed as many of the patients staggered into A&E like an army of the walking dead. Their clothes were burnt, their bodies charred. In some cases, their hair had melted. Their faces were brutally disfigured, and huge blisters formed on the students' legs and arms. Almost in slow motion, they lumbered in, shocked and in pain.
A scene of just complete chaos and devastation here. Casualties just keep on coming in.
Oh,
You can hear the screams of the women as they're trying to administer care. The truth is they can't even barely begin to cope inside here. There are a few beds, which is why people laid out on the floor. The smell that's in the air, it's a sickening smell of burning flesh. It's an absolutely horrific scene.
Packets of saline were cut open, the liquid poured over the victims. The few beds in the emergency room quickly filled, and many of the teenagers writhed in pain on the floor. Thick white cream was applied to their bodies to treat the burns, while yet more patients came in. Fathers and mothers, desperate for help, fought to be allowed into the hospital, cursing their president, Bashar al-Assad. Mohammed Abdullatif took the video at the scene before racing to the hospital where one of his relatives was being treated.
Dear United Nations, you're calling for peace. What kind of peace are you calling for? Don't you see this? Don't you see this? What do you need to see? We're just human beings. We want to live, you know? Isn't it our right to live? Isn't it? I don't know what to say. I know what to say. This is a real massacre.
A water tanker sprayed the crowd outside the hospital so they could clean themselves, terrified that this had been a chemical attack. Many described the same thing, a fighter jet circling overhead, apparently looking for targets. A large crowd had gathered at the school, and that's where the incendiary bomb was dropped. We don't know for sure what was in it, but the injuries and debris from the scene strongly suggest a substance like napalm or thermite was used. Human Rights Watch has documented and condemned similar attacks by the Syrian Air Force. By dusk, the chaos began to subside as patients were rushed across the border to Turkey for treatment. We spoke again to Dr. Roller. Born in Britain, her family is originally from Homs in Syria.
I feel so angry right now. I feel so, so angry. The whole world has been watching us for 2.5 years. We feel like some sort of... not even a second-class citizen. We just don't matter. Like, all of these children and all of these people who are being killed and massacred, we don't matter. The whole world has failed our nation. And it's innocent civilians who are paying the price.
Sabran ya nafsi, sabran ya nafsi. صبراً يا نفسي معنا الله.
The hospital admitted 30 patients that day. Most had more than 50% burns, which means their chances of survival are less than half. For many Syrians, the arguments about chemical weapons miss the point. Whatever Britain, France and America decide, what matters here isn't how people are dying, but death itself.
Ian Pannell with that report, and I must say some of the pictures that the BBC film crew with him shot are truly horrendous, with skin really falling off people's bodies. Well, I spoke to one of the British MPs who voted against getting more involved in Syria, voted against British military action, Joan Whalley, senior Labour Party Member of Parliament. And I put to her the comments, first of all, of that doctor we just heard in Ian Pannell's report, that innocent civilians and others in Syria feel they've been let down and failed.
Well, my heart goes out to the doctor and to all the people affected by this. And I think what we're seeing is a very complex, very grave, very chaotic situation. And I think that we have to think very long and hard about what the long-term and immediate solutions are. And I think that in that particular set of circumstances, the fact that the British Parliament did actually have a vote on whether or not there should be immediate military action was actually important. But I think what we have to do is look at where we need to get to, where the roadmap needs to be. And I think the most important thing that we need to do is to see how we can really build dialogue and look at a new world order and deal with the three separate things which are going on in Syria at the moment, which is obviously an issue about chemical weapons, obviously about the civil war, but also about the proxy war. And I just see that the United Nations, not just the work of the inspectors, but the work of the special envoy that was working for the United Nations earlier, Kofi Annan, and his attempts at peace, we just all have to find a way of really redoubling our efforts so that no one anywhere is living in this kind of absolute chaotic, words just fail to describe the situation that people are in there.
But redoubling efforts. I mean, if someone in Aleppo is listening to you say, yes, we must redouble our efforts, that would sound pretty empty, wouldn't it, given what they've just gone through?
Well, anything sounds empty given what people have just gone through. And I think that that's why we just have to keep a cool head and look to see that whatever action there is going to be, that that has to be proportionate. And I think that it has to be based on, if you like, evidence and real evidence as to who the perpetrators are. But it also has to be about how we equip the area within those three dimensions that I just mentioned to really try and build a new way of looking at things. And we have to start somewhere. And unfortunately, we have failed so far. And we're all, and particularly the people that you just referred to, are paying the price in this most horrendous way. But that's not to say that we shouldn't be putting every single ounce of energy that we've got, you know, mothers everywhere, people who really care about democracy, really trying to find a way through this morass that we are all in.
Are you thinking about the last problem, and indeed, you know, the British parliamentary majority, thinking about the last problem, Iraq, rather than the current problem, Syria?
I think there's no doubt about it that Iraq loomed large in the debate in the British Parliament yesterday. I was one of the people who voted against military action in Iraq at the time. And I have to say that there isn't a day of my life when I think that I did the right thing in voting the way that I did and against my party. So I think that, you know, rather than have action that is based on somebody's judgment without that evidence actually being there, we really have to just find a new way forward where we can actually get dialogue with Russia, dialogue with all the parties in the Middle East, dialogue with all the different parties with the new government that's there in Iran.
And that was Joan Whalley, Member of Parliament with the British Labour Party, explaining why she voted against British involvement in any military action against Syria. You're listening to the BBC World Service. This is NewsHour.